mob on the mic like a fascist.
Copyright 2002 Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporation. Copyright 2002 Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporation. Copyright 2002 Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporation. Copyright 2002 Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporation.
Hi, this is Mary Chan, and you're listening to Radio Freak America.
I'm in good shape, dude. I mean, I got... Now, I don't want to, you know, talk myself up, but I got a six-pack going. You know, I'm in good shape. I'm kind of, you know, I'm the shizat.
Yeah, you got a six-pack going. Most of the people out there that are into this kind of stuff have a keg instead of a six-pack.
That's right. Well, Cisco apparently thinks that. I received mail from Leshek, and he has a show on Rant Radio called Magic for the Masses. A really good show. Check it out. I think it's on Friday nights. Let me read it from Leshek. First off, thank you for a great show. It's definitely one of the better hacking shows out there, and it appeals to me specifically due to the broad focus. Linux, Windows, Mac, legal issues, social issues, memetics. Very enjoyable. I was watching a Cisco wireless tutorial, one of those online flash-like animated things with stupid voiceover, and thought of the show when they suddenly mentioned the word attacker. I thought of tossing over a quick email saying that at least one company in the business is using the language correctly, until the next slide came up, and I not only saw the use of the word hacker to indicate an attacker, but also a quite hilarious archetype. I'm not going to spoil it for you. Have a peek and enjoy. Sincerely, Leshek. Thanks, Leshek. You've got a cool show. I listen to it. And if you want to see this slide from Cisco, go to the forums at stankdog.com. I posted it there. And it's quite humorous. Have you seen it, Rex?
No, I haven't.
Well, instead of labeling... You know what? And I think this was deliberate. They drew these two big, fat-ass hackers, right? And put big labels on them. Hacker. I mean, it's just huge, obese, rotund, you know, people sitting in these chairs, you know, hacking into a wireless network, apparently. This is about, again, wireless security.
Let me guess. They had pizza boxes there, and...
They might as well. They should have. Fry, you know, empty fry containers and just...
In their parents' basement or something.
Yeah.
Let's hear for stereotypes.
Big time. So, they definitely... So, two counts. One, they misused the word hacker. And two, they made them big freaking fat asses. Actually, you know, we went to H2K2. That's the most hackers I've ever seen in one place. All the hackers at the meeting are in good shape. Most people at H2K2 are in good shape.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You can't paint things with a broad brush. There were... all different kinds of people there. There was short people there. There was tall people there. There was fat people there. There was skinny people there. There was people in wheelchairs. Matter of fact, there was I saw at the end of the movies, there was a gal there that was a quadruple amputee. You know, so you can't paint any kind of stereotype with, you know, with such a broad brush. You can't paint stereotypes at all. You know, so looking at people, you're going to judge them that they are a hacker, or they're a, you know, they're, because they're overweight, they're this, or because, you know, they're from another country, they're that. I mean, that's just so much bullshit.
It is. It is. So, I am dual parallel. I am in good shape. I am joined by Rax.
I'm in good shape. I've been working out, man.
Have you? You hitting the iron, dude? Hitting the weights?
Yeah. Doing all that shit. About a year and a half I've been going to a personal trainer, man. Feels great.
Personal trainer? My.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, personal computers, personal trainers. What the hell?
Well, again, check out Leshek's show. Very good show on Rant Radio. All the shows are good on Rant Radio. Rax, you did something special this week. Now, let me go back one moment here.
Actually, time out. I was going to roll back. I almost forgot this thing I was saying about you know, hackers and the way they're using the term. And that there was a great thing on the Off the Hook from 2600 Magazine and the Manual and all that. And they said there's a name for people who commit crimes on computers. That's criminals.
That's right, criminals.
No?
Bitches. That's right.
Damn. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I want to go back to last week's show. What did I promise the listeners? Technology. So this week, no ranting, technology. Rax had a very interesting run-in with a bunch of people at, what was this? A Linux get-together? What was this? Tell the listeners about this.
They called it an install fest, and it was the Phoenix Linux Users Group. And they've done this before. They did it in a community college on the east side of town. Now they did it at a community college on the west side of town. And what they do is get a bunch of their members together. They volunteer and they help people set up their machines. So people haul in their machines and they'll go and they'll set up and configure Linux for them.
Now you came out with a specific view on Linux and a specific distro in particular. And I'd like you to share that with the listeners because I think it's very pertinent.
Well, and we can talk about a couple of the things with it here, but I went in with two laptops. One was just a standard compact laptop that I've got Windows XP on, and I play with various distros. This is the same laptop they've been using. What is it called? They're from Connectix, Virtual PC. So we talked about that before, about testing and running various distros and that. So I decided I was going to dual boot it with something else, and I tried, played around a little bit with Red Hat on it, and I played around with some other things, and it works flawlessly with Nopix, which we've talked about a lot on this show, and Nopix is a Debian-based distribution, so I figured, what the hell, I'll try putting Debian on there. Had to use the Jigdo, which is the Jigsaw downloader for Debian, which is actually kind of neat. Rather than downloading a huge monolithic 600-plus meg ISO of Debian, which they no longer make it available like that, you got to download and configure this Jigdo thing, which wasn't too bad. Took me a little while to get good sources for things, and basically what it does is pulls down each of the little components from the various distribution websites and then builds it all together into an ISO. So it took probably about as long as it would to download an ISO, but the thing is, it was more bandwidth friendly to the net in that instead of one big old huge stream, you had little chunks and pieces there. The other thing that's a downside, and I'll bring this up a little bit later when we talk about what I'm downloading right now, but the other thing that's a downside of downloading an ISO is that if it aborts, you've got a 650 meg, roughly ISO image, and let's say you get 500 meg of that, and your connection drops for whatever reason. Well, what do? You got to start from scratch, so you've wasted all that bandwidth. Had Nopix. Nopix worked great. Nopix is based on Debian. We'll put Debian on there rather than putting the old one on. I got Debian 3, the Woody. Put it on there. Got it in. It installed pretty much okay. Excuse me. Got Lilo on there. I'm dual booting. Everything's good. But it's not seeing my NIC. It's not seeing my sound card. I can't get X Windows running and everything. So I figured, I'll take it to these guys since they've got more experience with dealing with that. Someone there ought to know how to be able to configure it. And Let's see, how can we put this delicately?
Don't have to put it delicately.
Basically, Debian sucked. I'll probably piss some people off with that, but tell you what, first of all, and they were surprised about this too, it didn't even put the latest kernel on there. It didn't put the 2.4 kernel. It did the 2.2 kernel on there for some stupid reason, but it was Debian Woody. Did not download it didn't put in, you know, the parts for the things I needed for the video. Didn't put the stuff in for sound. So I came up with the idea. You know, I've been working with computers for a long time. I said, well, let's do this. I said, let's boot Debian. Let's get the configuration that Debian wrote up for X, and let's just, you know, copy it over and use it in this other distro. So we did. Got that going and got the other parts and pieces in there. So it's basically up and that running now. The sound's still not working in that, but I'll tell you, man, I walked away with such an appreciation for Nopix that, you know, literally that was a couple of guys there, and they were sharp. I'm not faulting the people there. I mean, you know, they were sharp guys about their stuff, and I really admire the knowledge that they had for the various parts and pieces. But you know what? It's just too frickin' hard. You know, Linux has come a long way. It's leaps and bounds over what it used to be, even just a couple of years ago. But it's still too hard for, you know, Joe Sixpack out there, and I'm not talking about Sixpack Abs, I'm talking about Sixpack Beer, still too hard for him to go out and buy and configure. I mean, here, you know, there was about three different guys that worked on my laptop to get all this stuff going, and they're asking each other things, which is cool, you know, that's great. But to make it work, Nopix, you put the thing in, it boots, it goes. Why can't, I'm sounding like Jerry Seinfeld, why can't everyone be like Nopix?
That's right.
No, it's just so such a appreciation for that I, you know, I can't even, you know, expound it enough.
I agree. I mean, why can't, I mean, this is just a CD, one CD that it boots off the CD. I mean, the distro boots off the CD and it works so well on so many different platforms.
I mean,
it gets
the video, it gets the sound, it gets the network.
That's right.
In addition to all the apps. So if this Knopper guy in Germany, if he can do it, and everything is GPL'd, right? So the whole idea is standing on the shoulders of other giants, as we've talked about before, you should be able to take that information and apply it to your distro. Everyone should do it, man. I mean, you know, you start doing that kind of stuff. You know, years ago I started playing with IBM's OS2. It sounded very cool. And that was back in the day where, you know, things mainly didn't come on CD, so you had like, I don't know, 40 floppy disks to load OS2. And I honestly gave it tried to give it a fair shake a couple of times. And, you know, I'm not exactly a newbie when it comes to computers. And, man, it was just a bear. I couldn't get it going. I said, screw this. So, you know, I waited about a year, year and a half, tried it again, and tried, you know, one more time. I said, screw it. I'm not going to bother with it. You know, and again, that's someone who's kind of experienced with it. And it took literally three experts to get my laptop configured, whereas Nopix can just do it.
Right. There's a fine, and you know, and I know what people are thinking right now. Well, you know, that's the fun. You got to mess with it. You got to learn. Well, you know what? There's got to be a line somewhere, and especially if you've been messing with this stuff for years and years, it's like, man, I don't want to mess with it anymore. I just want something that works. No. There's a line between learning and, you know, wasting your time.
No, and I do, and I appreciate that, and I learn, you know, something new every day as, you know, I'm going through things, and hell, I learn stuff new in Windows all the time too, but. You know, the thing is, if that was the case, well, hell, everyone would just have, you know, have GNU Linux, have the kernel and have all the utilities. No one would bother writing any games or any browsers or any, you know, application stuff or anything, because everyone would just be happy to play with the OS. You know, so that's not the end-all and be-all, is just getting that done and getting it configured. You actually want to do stuff with it.
Okay, I am, like, burning up here. I got to open a window.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about the other machine.
All right, it's
going to
be noisy.
All right, And this is a nice background sound effects here. But anyway, this other machine, and Duel's seen them, and they're discontinued now, but it's a Casio Fiva, and it's a mini laptop, kind of like the Libretto, which I used to have a Libretto before the motherboard died. Anyway, so this Casio Fiva is not a CE device or anything. It runs full-blown Windows 98, and that is a National Semiconductor Geode chip. Actually, I thought it was the transmitted chip, but it's a National Semiconductor chip. Now, think about it, folks. Windows does not have different versions that run on different processors like Linux or BSD does. Windows works on the i86 architecture. So this chip is basically, you know, x86 compatible. And the deal is, though, it has a PCMCIA socket on it, and the deal is it'll only boot off a CD if you have Casio's proprietary discontinued $300 PCMCIA CD-ROM drive. Also, you can't boot it off a floppy. It doesn't have a floppy. It has a USB port, but you cannot boot it off a floppy. So I pull the thing apart, take out the little 2.5-inch laptop hard drive, pop it on an adapter board, and pop it into my other machine. And, again, not being super deep into it, not being a kernel hacker or anything, I was going to put Red Hat on this one just because, you know, it's the, you know, pretty much the, you know, leading distro out there just in terms of usage and support and that. So popped it in on there, didn't bother configuring X because, you know, that was different. So at this install fest, they had a Red Hat employee there, and everyone was, you know, pulling at him, and he was you know, very helpful in digging up stuff and looking up things and figuring out things and helping all kinds of people and that. But it turns out, and if any of the listeners have any information on this or have a link to that, that'd be great. So here's the bottom line of what it looked like. The machine I installed, when I was installing Red Hat on this 2.5-inch hard drive, the machine that the processor in that machine was an Athlon XP. So when the symptom that this machine exhibits, and I'm using Grub for the boot manager, so you go in, Grub loads up, and as you go to load Linux, it's loading LM Liniz and that, and then it does a cold boot on the machine. So as I was talking to the Red Hat guy and going through things, that what we figure is that when it installed, the kernel, you know, set up for like a, you know, whatever, a 686 processor as opposed to a 586, and this machine can't handle it. So what I'm going to need to do, and this is again where if anyone has the pointers out there, you know, send me the URL, I'll appreciate that, is that got to stick it back in the other machine, reconfigure it, and tell it to use the different kernel for that. And a few other things, and pull that down. So that's about the bottom line of that. And Duel, you remember how weird that was with that Casio when we were sitting there hacking away that night?
Yeah, that's a nice little box, actually. I hope you can get Red Hat running on that.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I definitely appreciated bringing that to the meeting and that hack. And it got to what? It got to the bootloader. I remember seeing the Grub screen.
Yep.
And then what happened? It would crap out.
Yeah, as it's starting to load up stuff, it just does like a cold boot of the machine, which is very bizarre.
Do you like that? Do you like that technical term, crap out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Very technical. Well, you know, I'd rather mess with phones. I want to mess with phones right now, dude.
Should we tell everyone too that we've got a special announcement at the end of the show?
Yeah, I think we should. We've got a very special announcement that Rax has to give. And we're going to save that for the end of the show. Actually, we'll bring that on with the special guest that we'll have at the end of the show.
Got another guest, special guest coming back on.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead. Do the freaking thing.
Yeah, you know, I want to get started with technology. You know what? Phones are technology, baby. And we're going to mess them. I got some good stories. You know, myself, Mute, Wintermute, I think it was Condor and Mary Chan. I think we were all in IRC one time. And we started talking about freaking, and Mute was talking about freaking. He was really getting into it. And he had this really cool number with a really cool error message. I was like, yeah, I want to hear it. You know, he said it was really special. And also it was a special ANI number. And I said, no way, right on. We'll bust out. And he said, first, well, just call, use this 1010 code, and then call any number. You get this really cool error message. I said, okay, well, here's what it is. I'm flashing. It's 1010732 and then 1 and any number. I'll just dial some random number.
Private network. If you feel you have reached this recording an error and you are calling from your business line, please contact your AT&T representative or the number on your invoice. If you are calling about your AT&T residential line, you will need to contact your local telephone company and request your carrier code be changed to 288. To place your call immediately, you may hang up and dial 1010 2881 plus the number you desire to call. Thank you for using AT&T.
Okay, so that was an AT&T number, obviously. And you know, I was like, wait a minute, that kind of sounds familiar. 1010732, and it was AT&T. So I did a little looking. I said, you know, that sounds familiar. So I went back to my, you know, my little freak notebooks here. I got a few of them. I've been filling up over the years. And sure enough, I found the number. It's 1010732. It's an ANI number. It's been around for a long time. Some special, I don't know, AT&T business class ANI number. It's 1010732-1-770-988-9664. And I typed that into IRC. Mute. I said, hey, Mute, is this the number? He said, yeah, that's it. And he said, how'd you know that? I said, oh, it's, you know, it's been around for a while. So let's call. No, let's not call that. We don't want people to have my number.
Yeah. We can always edit that out, man.
Yeah, that's possible. Well, they don't need to hear it. I'm sure anybody who's messed with the phone has heard that number, but that's a really good number, and I really like that error message. You know, props to Mute for bringing that up. And then we were still messing around, And I said, you know what, Mute? Let's have a race. Let's see who can get the country code for Estonia first, right? And he said, okay. And then Mary Chan, of course, said, 1, 3, 2, 1, go. And we went, and we started going. And he ended up calling AT&T, and he's like, oh, shit, they're going to charge me $1.99 for this number. I was like, what? You don't? No, no, you don't have to. You do not have to pay to get a country code. And no, I didn't use the internet. I was actually on a little freak adventure not too long before that fun night on IRC. Oh my god, did you hear me? I just said I was on IRC.
Oh, dude.
Scary. Yeah, but it's like good people on IRC, man. We were talking about good shit. Okay, so I think Kamikaze was there too. Where's this number? So I was out on one of my many freak adventures, collecting a lot of good stuff. And I came across... Aha, here it is. I came across not a calling card, but the piece of cardboard that they're stuck to usually, right? I saw it on the ground next to a payphone. It intrigued me. I picked it up. I read it. And on that card was a number. This was a Walgreens, it's a drugstore chain, Walgreens prepaid calling card. And it had a customer service number. Number 877-217-8288. I was curious, as many hackers and freaks are, so I called the number. What could I do? What could I get? First of all, it says you must have an 800 access number, which is on the calling card, and the PIN, or the code. I had neither. All I had was a piece of cardboard, you know, that it hangs on in the store. I said, well, screw that. I don't need that. So I called, and you know what? Let's try to simulate that call right now. So 1-877. See what happens.
Thank you for calling Walgreens Customer Service. For English, press 1. This is a toll-free call, and no time is being deducted from your phone card. If you have not purchased a card, but would like information on rates or service terms, please press 0 now. Please hold while we process your call. Hold on the line. Your call is being transferred to the next available customer service representative. Please have the toll-free number and card number printed on the back of your phone card ready for us to assist you.
Prepaid customer service, this is Steven. You have your toll-free number from line one of your card.
Well, actually, I just needed the country code for Estonia, if you don't mind. That's all I needed, really.
And you're not anywhere near a phone book?
No, I'm sorry. And I didn't know if Estonia would be there. It's a country in... Northern Europe, I think it's like south of Finland, Estonia.
Right, usually we don't get paid unless I get a card number from you, but it's 372.
372, great, I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks.
Okay.
You're taking food out of the poor guy's mouth. You would have made a quarter if you had a number.
He doesn't get paid, is that what he said?
Normally we don't get paid unless we have a code.
That's right. My cats will go hungry now. Well, you know what? That's the third time I've tried that number for various pieces of information without any 800 number or access code, and I've always gotten the information. That's the first time anybody has ever even showed an inkling of resistance, so believe me, it's effective. And so that's what I did. I called that number. I had that number, and I was like, hey, wait a minute. I've got this great number. So I called that, and of course I came back 372, and he said, oh, god damn, I was going to pay $1.99, and no, there's just no way. So you know what? This teaches a valuable lesson, listeners, and that is no matter what you do when you're hacking, you're freaking, you know what? You've got something, and everybody does, you know, one certain thing. You know, the convention is to use this number or this program for one certain thing. Well, you know what? That's BS, man. You can do whatever you want with it. You know, figure out a new way to use it. Now, so we had the race to the country code. And also on my adventure,
online IRC adventure. Is this
IRL? No. This is where I got this number. You know, it was one of my freak adventures. I like to just, you know, roam about the city and just, you know, find stuff, look at stuff, you know, get new numbers. Shit, I found a 100 pair box wide open. Well, okay, it wasn't wide open, but it wasn't locked. It opened very easily.
Wide open, yeah. It was sort of closed. It was like, that wasn't locked. All right.
So I took a screwdriver. No, it was open. I just opened it, checked it out, looked, closed it, because actually there's somebody across the street, so So, you know, those are the kind of things you can find, you know, and that's what I like about it. Now, freaking to me is just going out and exploring your area, you know, getting down and dirty, you know, checking out the payphones, the boxes, the cans. I got a lot of pictures, but on my adventure, I decided to say, you know, wait a minute. I can kill two birds with one stone here. The privacy bird. Well, that's stupid. And a freaking need, right? Two things at once. Take care of your privacy and your freaking. So what I did is, as I was, you know, tooling around town on my sled, on my hog,
it's not a hog.
All right, it's a bicycle. So it's a fresh bike, though, dude. This is not like a mountain bike or a 10-speed. This is, anyways, I got a racing bike. Anyways, I decided to collect bad phone numbers. Where do you get bad phone numbers? Well, mainly Cocotte's in front of like businesses that are out of business, or broken pay phones. I've got a couple interesting numbers I want to call here. But I just decided, hey, wait a minute, this could come in handy. If somebody needs a phone number, you know, you give them one of these bad numbers. If, you know, let's say somebody they have to see an ID, you know, to collect this personal information. And they say, oh, I got your ID, and you want to give a fake, you don't want to give any fake number, because they could call and get somebody and say, well, you're not this guy, you know, you got a, you know, who is this guy, and now somebody else knows your name. So.
Who is what guy?
You know, just any guy.
Oh, okay. Just make a note of the time and edit that later.
Oh, yeah, no problem. And so they will come in handy, you know. And if they say, no, you have to have some kind of phone number, well, you can give this bad number. You don't have to give some fake number that somebody actually might pick up, and then they'll learn who you are. So I was hitting all these payphones, Cocotte's, found some broken Quest phones, and I started collecting them. So I highly recommend just keep at least one number in your head all the time so you can just give it out. And you'll get, you know, whoever calls it is going to get some crazy message.
Now, by the way, listeners, don't say 555-1212. That one won't work in the real world.
Yeah, probably not.
We'll recognize that. You'll give yourself away.
You know, I'm not drinking caffeinated drinks anymore, Rax.
Yeah, that's what you're saying, man. I didn't have my 180 today either, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm drinking caffeine-free. I don't know why. I just kind of off it. It's kind of crazy. So I found two Quest Fortress phones next to each other, both in front of this this store that have gone out of business. But the phones were still there, intact. And I checked them out, and sure enough, they were both out of order. But the thing is, and there are two phones right next to each other, almost you know, consecutive phone numbers, but they both had different... I just found this interesting. They both had different error messages when you called them, and I'd like to call them right now and show you how weird that is. Let's call this first one here.
The number 299-9768 cannot receive incoming calls. 299-9768 cannot receive incoming calls.
Okay, now that was that one. Now there's a phone right next to it with a number almost the same. Let's call it.
The number 299-9771 is not in service. No further information is available about this number. 299-9771 is not in service. No further information is available.
Okay, how's that for consistency?
Well, I mean, it just sounds like the first one is maybe just broke. The second one is disconnected altogether.
No, both of them are just out of service, man. It is in front. This whole, like, area of town is just a ghost town. It's just desolate and deserted.
And that nice place you live in, man.
Yeah, well, no, actually it's a shithole, but that's beside the point. I'm here for the money, man. But there's two, you know, seemingly nice payphones sitting in the middle of this, you know, wasteland, and both out of service, both in good condition, but both with different error messages. It's very odd, you know, and it does sound like it. It sounds like the one does work, you know, because it says just no incoming calls, but the other one's no incoming calls, and they're both out of service. I just thought that was weird. Why is that? I'm curious. And, you know, I'd probably go to jail for exploring and trying to find out why. Okay, I've got another number, and this came up that night on IRC. It's a number I gave to mute, you know. I just said, hey, call this number and then dial in any 800 number. So let's do that right now. This is actually the 800 Responsible Organization number, and the number is 800. Oh, caffeine-free Diet Coke attacks. 800-959-2000. And call this number and then dial any 800 number. You'll find out who owns it and who's the responsible organization behind the number. Let's do that. Rex, give me an 800 number.
Oh, dude, you put me on the spot.
800-BUT-LOVE.
And I don't even have, like, anything here I can...
Okay, let's do...
Anything up.
Let's do 800 Taco Bell. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it The Bell?
Is it The Bell? No. Let's do 800 Information. Let's see who runs that. No, screw that. Let's do the Canada number.
It's gonna tell information from Canada?
You know what? We're gonna find that out. The number to call Canada, it's 800-555-1111.
Wait a minute. Don't say to call Canada. To call what in Canada? Canada.
I'm not sure.
In there. I've been there. It's a big freaking country. Okay, you can't say. Well, it's like there's not there. Hello, you've reached Canada. What province do you want to talk to?
That's exactly what happens. What are you talking about? No. Okay, fine. All right, let's call that number. I wanted to call this number anyways. All right, hold on. She'll say, "Welcome to Canada, eh?"
Welcome to Canada.
Ha!
For service in English, press 1. Pour le service en français, appuyez sur le 2.
Deux.
Pour porter les frais à votre carte d'appel, entrez le numéro de la carte et le numéro d'identification personnelle maintenant. Pour un appel à frais viré, veuillez faire le 1-1. Pour facturer l'appel à un autre numéro, veuillez faire le 1-2. Pour un appel de personne à personne ou un autre type d'appel,
person to person.
Et sur le 0, un téléphoniste vous répondra.
Okay, I've had enough. Isn't French a beautiful language?
It was 1-2 for another number, and I still remember a little bit of French.
So that's what happens. Okay. All right, so no, you don't get an operator saying, hello, you reached Canada.
Yeah, say, can I speak to Bob Smith? Oh, yeah, I know Bob. Yeah. Bob's there's a good friend
like,
of mine.
There's only like two people in Canada, right? I mean, like,
yeah, actually, to put it in perspective, there's like 25 million or whatever people in Canada. It's basically the population of California. Okay, that's the population of Canada.
Whew. Hackers are rare.
It's the second largest country in the world.
Land-wise. Okay, so let's call the 800 responsible org number and put in the Canada number and see what happens. Here we go. Once again, it's 1-800-959-2000. Well, that was fast. Different ring.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
What?
Please check the number.
Okay, that's BS.
Oops.
Alright, hold on. Let me try something else. Any day now. Dude. Oh, son of a bitch. I hit the speakerphone button. How embarrassing. Rax, you there? Okay. I screwed up big time, but I'm not going to stop recording. Let me call Rax now. That is called a freak disaster. Let's see. His number is not what you're getting. Okay. There we go.
Hi, thanks for calling. Give your name and number, and I will return your call as soon as...
Oh, fucking A. Oh, that's so funny. Both in the same show. That is so funny. All right, I gotta stop it now. Okay, that was hilarious, dude. All right, here's what happened. Here's how the chain of events started. I accidentally hit speakerphone and thought it was that delay, you know, before you get the AT&T double info, or AT&T. And it wasn't. And I kept waiting and waiting. What the hell? And then I noticed the speaker light was off. So, all right. So, quickly, you know, thinking on my feet, I said, okay, we'll just call. Rack's back. Called back, and for some reason, I got your voicemail. And your voicemail says your real name. So we both, my real name slipped out, your real name slipped out. Thankfully, this is a recorded show. And it will be edited.
This one will be edited.
Big time. This is going to be two parts, too. That's kind of fun. All right, I'm going to try this again, and that's it. No more freaking phones, man. Although I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, but it's probably not good for radio. For the crickets in the background right now. All right, hold on. Oh, that's why I hit it did it again! No! Are you there? Are you there? Unbelievable. Alright, this was not me, folks, and I'm not editing this. This was, I hit flash, and it turned off the speakerphone for some reason. I've got this Panasonic, you know, office phone. And for some reason, when I hit flash, I gotta dial Rax now here, star. Okay.
Federal Tips Hotline, what suspicious activity would you like to report, Patriot?
There's a hacker by the name of Rax in the Southwest, and he uses computers to do bad things.
Yes, we're very familiar with his activities, and all his activities are being monitored, even as we speak.
Oh, good, good. I wouldn't want to associate with one of those hackers. Ugh.
By the way, this is being... Who is running the TIPS hotline?
I don't know. Like,
it was going to be, like, the post office, or...
No, FedEx. I think FedEx is running it.
Huh?
FedEx, I think they're running it, aren't they?
No, it was someone, or... Anyway, right. Okay, dude, so that's like the first time you've played with the phone, huh? You don't know how to hit the flash button?
No, here's what happens. I did. Now, and this is, it's scientifically proven. I did hit the flash button, and it turned off the speakerphone. Twice, and it had to have happened twice, because I just did. I watched, consciously watched my finger.
How did you flash the button before?
Same way. I don't know what happened. Maybe I'm like tapping it too hard, and something's coming loose inside. I don't know. We're going to try it one more time. This is it. By the way, speaking of FedEx, you know, I bought a lockpick set last time I was there in your town, and I was too scared to bring it back on the plane, so I shipped it FedEx to myself, just like the guy did at H2K2. Scary, huh? Okay, we're going to try this one more time. We're trying to find out who the responsible org is for Canada. Who owns Canada? All right, hold on. Flash. Dial slowly. Okay, I'm hitting flash again, I swear to God. Oh, it crapped out! Something's wrong with my phone. You there? Oh, something is screwy. Oh, did you hear that noise here, huh? Okay, this is like horrible, horrible radio. My phone crapped out of me. I have to buy a new phone. Technical difficulties. Oh my god.
Hotline. If you're having trouble using your phone, please press. Oh no, sorry, you're too dumb to press anything. Just on the line and we'll finally get to you.
Is that what I press? One?
I told you, don't press anything, dumb shit.
Try it again.
I'm going to come over there and kick your ass if you press something else again.
Dude, something is wrong. Here's what I pressed flash. And my phone just like, it's like the HAL 9000 shutting down. And it was like the Death Star shutting down. Just go through the whole, you know, the speakerphone light just like, just glows, you know, dim. It's broken.
You know what it is? It's that tap they have on your phone, you know. It lowers the line voltage and it makes it,
That's it.
Makes it harder to do. So they put the tap on tonight.
That's it. Oh, now we know. Good deal. Well, I hope they're getting all this on tape. Because now, if I lose the show, you know, I can ask them for it and we can stream that.
Hey, speaking of which, I don't know if we mentioned it before, but shouts out to Crypto Pimp for digging up episode number 24 that we got back up online.
Yeah, it's up. It's good. It's a really good episode, actually. I listened to it after we got it back, and it's a good episode. Okay, so, damn it, I got to buy a new phone now. And I got this phone. It's a really nice one of those big Panasonic office phones, you know, headset, everything.
If you're going to do it, you should get that, what the hell is that? We took a look at it that time in Fry's, you know, the conference phone that has full duplex.
Oh, yeah, those are nice. The one that looks like the...
$200.
The amoeba-looking phone. Yeah, those are nice.
They even have, rather than the conference one that's shaped like in a triangle, they have a, you know, single or two-line one, and I forget what it's called. What the hell is that called? I'll think of it.
That's what I do need. I'm going to have to get a new phone, because every time I hit flash, the speakerphone light would just die, and it would make this funny noise and crap out on me and hang up on both lines, which is odd. So, that sucks. That's like...
Say, speaking of the feds monitoring stuff and that too, did you see the thing about I guess now the Secret Service or somebody is finally starting to do some war driving?
Yes, I read that today actually at wardriving.com. There's two things. First of all, the Pentagon is prohibiting wireless in their area IT, which is really smart. But as you said, the Secret Service is also doing war driving. They're driving around. They've got a few antennas, even the Pringles can, which I find rather amusing. You'd think they have the money or the, you know, they'd have the, well, I know they have the capabilities, but they'd put in the effort to make their own antennas, but they're using a Pringles can.
That'll be completely conspicuous, right? The big black Suburban with the black wall tires, the limo black shaded, you know, window tint.
And the guy hanging out the window with the Pizzalicious Pringles can, you know?
Yeah, no, won't draw any attention at all.
None whatsoever. So they're war driving. First of all, and you know what this says to me? War driving is totally legal. Do whatever you want.
No. The government can do anything they want.
I thought we could do whatever they do.
No.
Oh, man.
The government's going to allow the record companies and the MPA to hack into your computer. Oh, excuse me. Not hack into your computer. They're going to be able to do a denial of service. No, excuse me. They don't call it that. What do they call it? It's, anyway, they're protecting their assets.
Right. I think, what did Berman write? There's a great link on digitalrights.org to comments made by Mr. Berman. And I think he called it like a safe harbor, creating a safe harbor for the copyright holders. What the what is that about? A safe harbor. And you know what? There's nothing, not one itsy bitsy bit of technical knowledge in his speech. Anything. Well, of course, I don't expect that from him, but you would think somebody somewhere would say, hey, here's what we're going to do technically. Well, they can't do that because then we would just, you know, create the countermeasures. So you're saying we can't do what they do. I didn't know that. Huh, okay.
You know what, dude? We're starting to get away from
that. Whoops! Oh yeah, technology.
We're almost getting into that political crap.
Okay, I got to read this though. This is a quote from this article. I think it was off Yahoo News. The effort. This is the Secret Service war driving. The effort is part of a new government plan to build relationship with businesses so that they will feel more comfortable reporting hacking attempts to authorities. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that special?
And it is. I'm warm. I feel warm inside.
Open another window.
I did, actually. While you were talking, I went open up another one. So that sucks, man. No more phone calls. I had... Well, listeners are probably happy about that, but I like that. Phone calls are fun. You don't like phone calls, do you, Rex?
No, but that's the thing. I'm not a freaker. You get off in the phone system, and it's like, yeah, whatever, I use it. You know, it's like... It doesn't entice me that much, but that's what makes the world go round.
Ooh, entice you. I'm sorry. Okay.
But you know, they think about it. The telephone is so ubiquitous, and that as they're talking about like internet access or anything, they say basically, you know, the people have been calling it that, like internet dial tone. Basically, you don't think about everything that has to happen. You expect you pick up the phone and it works.
Right.
But think about what goes on. You don't care if the power is out in the whole city. You pick up the phone and it works, and that's what computers need to get to be that point of. They're just so dependable. They're, you know, quote unquote the appliance, which I got something else to tell you about appliance here. But they're an appliance that you don't have to think about. And I was at a Comdex thing years and years ago, probably about 1989. It was for user group people, and Peter Norton, who's again one of my heroes in computing. Peter Norton was saying, you know, we don't have a telephone users group. You don't have a shag carpet users group. You shouldn't have to have a computer users group, but you do have one because they're too damn complicated. They don't work the way you expect them to, and all this other stuff. So once it gets to the point of being a, quote-unquote, an appliance, you know, we'll, you know, start thinking about more that way. But there's been a lot of talk, and I hate to use the L word, but talking about legislation and stuff, but trying to hold these software companies accountable for what they produce. You know, mainly Microsoft, since they're the leader. But the thing is, would you knowingly get into a car that you think is, you know, has a likelihood of the engine blowing up or the tires blowing out? Well, let's not talk about Firestone, but you know, that you can sue a company if they build a car that, you know, if someone rear ends you and it explodes, you can sue that company. What happens when your computer blows up? You know, when your server crashes, when all that, can you sue anyone? No, because they've got built in all that shrink wrap license agreement that everyone just clicks on anyway. They've got all the stuff built into that that covers their asses.
Yeah, I've read the Microsoft car analogy before, and yeah, you're right.
But the thing goes, actually, Bill Gates was supposed to have been at a thing saying, you know, if cars would have progressed the way computers would, we'd, you know, be able to go 1,000 miles an hour and get 1,000 miles a gallon, and cars would cost, you know, $1,000 a piece. And someone in the audience said, "Yeah, but who wants to drive a car that crashes 3 times a day?"
Ooh, ouch!
I guess Gates didn't have a good comeback for that one.
No, how could you? Now, see, and now I see the adventure. I see the allure in both technologies. You know, phone being ubiquitous, being steadfast. You know, and that's where I see the allure. It's that people don't look at it any other way than pick up, make your call, hang up. And that's it. They don't think about what goes on. You know, they don't think about all the trunks. They don't think about the loops. They don't think about the, you know, the 5ESS circuit switching. They don't think about packet switching. They don't think about any of that stuff.
We've had computers. We've had the telephone system for over 100 years. It's a very mature technology.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Think about it. If you sit and ponder, I mean, it's like the universe, man. I mean, think about it. It's huge. I mean, it spans oceans. You know, the signaling technology used, everything, the switching. I don't know if you've ever read about how a 5ESS works. It is amazing. You know, the clocks, the timing of the switches just alone is amazing. You know, and now it's going from circuit switching to packet switching. You know, there's a whole new technology to learn. It's amazing.
Well, then actually, there's a good story about that, too. They talked about, I think I mentioned this before, the Robert X. Kringley thing, Triumph of the Nerds 2.0.1, and he talks about, and he actually interviews like the people that came up with these various ideas and that, and he went to the room in the Pentagon where the idea for the internet came about and all that. But basically, when the DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency or whatever, came up with the idea, they went to AT&T because they were the phone company, and there was just the one phone company, and they said, "We want to do this," and they were switched circuit switch people. They said, "Well, to do it, you're going to have to nail up a circuit." You know, which means you have to establish and reserve all the connections for it from point A to point B, no matter how many switches or whatever else it goes through, which is how traditionally the telephone system works.
Right.
And they said, "Nope, we can't do that because of the following thing." And they said, "Well, you know what? It'll never work." And they said, "Well, fine, screw you." And you know, Bolt, Beranek, and Newman, and you know, various people and all kinds of people and things, and that came about to make it. So it's interesting now that you're going from the I guess, you know, the term is like the wire heads for the phone people and the bit heads for the data people.
Right.
And the convergence of voice and data. But the thing is, we still don't have, networks aren't reliable enough and everything else. Even with all the voice over IP stuff, which is great, everything else relating to that is still not as reliable. And we talk about 5 nines of reliability, which is probably, you know, what our phone system has.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very, very good.
Very, very seldom is it down.
Yeah, so there's the allure with the phone system. And then with computers, of course, they don't act the way you want. They do different things. You know, there's a lot to explore. There's really no standard. Come on, I mean, there isn't. So there's the allure and the adventure there. You know, there's so much to learn about with computer. I mean, you could go on and on, both, you know, telephony and computer technology. You can go forever and keep learning. And, boy, I guess that's why I like both. Speaking of voice over IP... Last show or show before when interview was on, we did IRLP. Well, guess what? That inspired me, so I started doing some footwork here around town, hanging with some hams, making some phone calls, and I am planning to assist. I don't want to say I did it, but you know, definitely the fire has been lit with all this work, and I've finally met people that say, "Hey, I've been wanting to do this," and now we got more. You know, we've got some more steam going. I'm gonna go to the local ham meeting here this Saturday and start pimping the idea to them. We are going to try to put up an IRLP node where I live. it's going to be a little tricky, you know, with the topography here, but we're going to get this done. And I know that I'm going to learn just by doing this. I cannot not help learn something. And second, it's going to be super, super exciting when it's up and running, and just to know that I had, just to help. I mean, not to say, oh, I did this, I'm the baddest ass motherfucker, you know. I just wanted to be able to say, hey, man, I helped with that, you know. I want to hop on and say, man, this feels good, because it's going to be amazing. So I will keep all the listeners abreast on the IRLP situation here, and I know Wintermute is going to be excited about that.
What are we doing on time here, man?
I'd say about 15 more minutes.
Okay, well, cool. I'll talk about the internet appliance.
Internet appliance?
That's a ubiquitous term that basically, you know, people have saying for these black box, closed box kind of computers. I've got a few of them. You saw those little eye openers I had?
Yes.
It was an internet appliance. You turn it on, you know, you don't really see the operating system or anything else. You just get on the internet and do stuff like that. Well, that failed and all this other stuff. But anyway, walking into Fry's, which is, you know, one of my favorite places to go into, Fry's Electronics, right as you walk in, there is a nice big-ass stainless steel Lucky Gold Star refrigerator with a built-in computer.
No way.
Touch screen. It's about a 17-inch screen. Internet enabled. I mean, you know, I looked at the back. There's a couple of USB ports and there's built-in audio to it, so you can play your music through it. And then there's a, you know, antenna for picking up just regular FM broadcasts and whatever, and an Ethernet jack and all this other stuff. Anyway, so you can be in your kitchen now, you know, and surf on the net. And now as you put the stuff in there too, you know, there was like a little database there, and I presume it pulls like the system date. So like you put the milk in there, and it says, you know, milk, you know, purchased or put in, you know, on this date, and so on and so forth. One thing I've heard about in I think it's up in Scandinavia, where I think Electrolux is located at, is headquartered. But even a couple of years ago, they were talking about their internet-enabled fridge, and in addition to having IP, which, you know, obviously this fridge would have an IP address if you put it on the net. But the idea was that I think they were talking about having a barcode scanner in it. So you scanned all the stuff as you put it in. And if you extrapolate this a little bit, I know they've been working on in England with one of the supermarkets there where you email or your system sends off your shopping list, and when you get there, it's all shopped and ready for you. It's all put in bags. So get this, you know, you get your fridge ordering, you know, milk and eggs and bread and everything else, and you show up at the supermarket, and son of a gun, there's the stuff all packed up for you. But now you're going to have a firewall on your fridge, because what if I get in and I take that milk, you know, that you had in there, and I
That's
put
right.
No, that was put in there today. And, you know, so you go to drink it, and you get this nice big old, you know, glass
of
milk.
Dude, that's just, honestly, I think that's overkill. Internet-enabled refrigerators, that's stupid. You're too dumb and lazy to know when you bought milk and know when it's bad, you do not.
That's not the only thing. So you got
need a computer, and I don't want anybody shopping for me. I don't want the same things every time.
A lot of people spend a lot of time in the kitchen, you know. So you can be there, and you can like call up recipes on the internet and everything else. You know, you could watch like, you know, streaming video or have streaming audio come. You could listen to RFA in your kitchen.
I got wireless. I'll just bring my laptop in there.
It's only $8,000 for the fridge. So.
Yeah. Oh, see, bargain.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to counter that refrigerator with a shortwave radio receiver for your PC, I think. And can you go there right now, Rex? I think it's winradio.com.
Check it out.
And there's also a Linux client for this receiver.
Lin Radio. L-I-N Radio.
Lin Radio, yes. So you buy the hardware, and then you can run it on Linux. And it's a shortwave receiver, and, you know, it's got an antenna jack, so you get your external antenna. And you've got the control screen right there, you know, just like you have a shortwave radio on your screen. And you can, you know, of course, automatic scanning, stopping on channels, logging, whatever. How fun would that be? I really want that. I don't know how much it was. It's like 150. Are you there? Did you find the...
Yeah, let's see. Look at products.
They just came out with a new one.
Shop at Win Radio. Let's see. North America.
Yeah, let's see how much it is.
You've got dealers, I guess, all over the world.
Because I actually have... I got a couple of coins in my pocket, and I'm thinking about dropping them on a shortwave radio. I've had some in the past, but, you know, just analog dial. I'm thinking about actually, you know, dropping some, I'd say some pretty serious jack on a nice radio, and like a nice Grundig, something with, you know, digital scanning. And
the stuff, it's pretty buried here to try to get to all the
It price. Is? Okay, but it's there, and it's winradio.com, right?
WinRadio.com for the Windows and LinRadio.com for the Linux.
Yeah, and that, oh, dude, I just love anything with computers and radio. It just floats my boat. You know, I was talking to these guys about this IRLP, and I've got a bunch of, you know, I've got like four spare Pentium computers here. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll be able to run them on that just fine. And, oh, I just can't wait. I cannot wait.
Whatever, man. Whatever floats your boat.
That's right. Hey!
You're talking about, you know, dropping some jack on that shortwave radio?
Shortwave radio rocks, man.
I want to drop some bucks, like $600, on this ER1 personal robot system that you basically, it's the motors and the chassis and a camera and wheels and everything, and you hook your laptop up to it, and it's a mobile robot.
Hey, that sounds cool. Where do you get that?
You can order it online. I'm actually in a contest for it at Tiger Direct if you want to enter the contest. They have them at Fry's. Matter of fact, this weekend at Fry's. Oh, you're not going to be in town for the 2600 meeting.
Oh, no.
This weekend at Fry's, they're having a demo of this robot thing down there.
Oh, cool. Take some pictures.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Hey, I have those pictures of that Cray building for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I took some pictures of my lab here that I got to email off to you for the site.
Yes, yes. And listeners, if you got, now I sent out some stickers this weekend. If you have pictures of your stickers in action, send them to Old School Freak, and they'll go up on the stickers page. I've got one on my laptop, got one on Rax's laptop. We got to get up there, so send them in. You know, if scantily clad women want to show off the stickers, hey, I'm all for it. I am all for it.
How many stickers are we up to now?
30.
Hey, well, people, we have like 500 of these mofos out there, so.
That's right.
Yeah, we're not pocketing the money. It's all going to go to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So
yeah, and I figure like when we get at the rate it's going now, you know, I figure when we get like $50, you know, I'll go get a cashier's check, take pictures of it, take pictures of me mailing it, and we'll send that off, and hopefully it'll continue. You know.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of these things, folks. So
yeah.
You know, help us out. You know, decorate your box, make it look cool, and help out. Support freedom and privacy and all that other good stuff.
That's right. And if you drop, I don't know if it's worth it, but correct me if I'm wrong, Rax, if you drop like $20, that's tax deductible, is it not?
I'd have to double check that. I forget what it was. Some of it was and some of it wasn't. And, yeah, but, you know.
I mean, for the listeners, donating to the EFF, so, yeah, I don't know.
We should probably get our special guest on there and then get lined up for our special big announcement.
Yeah, let's do that. Now, I have the number.
Wrote it down.
Oh my god, I had it. There it is. Okay, now how am I gonna do this? I gotta take you off speaker for a second. All right. All right. Okay, you're still there. Oh, I can't. How can I flash? All right, I'm gonna try it anyways. Yeah. Let me flash it. I'll be right back. All right, now listeners, you're listening. Hold on. I'm gonna flash it here. Okay. Calling the special guest. Oh my gosh, it worked. I was trying on speaker. Oh! But that sucks. I'd have to do that.
What are you doing? Call me this early.
Mary Chan!
Hey, Bill.
Our special guest. We're recording, by the way.
It's not early.
Yeah. Early, yeah. What time is it?
Actually, it's not. It's respectable evening time where I am as well.
Okay, good. Now, I want you to speak into the phone and speak up, you know, get your best radio voice on.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're joined, of course, by Mary Chan, who was on a lot of the episodes and made the episodes as special as they could be.
Faking it. Don't buy that crap.
It's true. What are you talking about? Now, Rax, you got to tone it down. Hold on. Let me turn it up so Mary Chan can speak up. And Rax, you got to tone it down just a little bit. All right. There we go.
I'm sorry. I've got that voice that just carries.
You do have a certain kind of voice that you'll be talking about in a little bit. Now, Mary Chan, you are now on the beautiful left coast.
Yes, I am.
And you're enjoying it, I'm assuming?
Yes, I am, actually. I'm taking some classes here. I have a decent, you know, part-time job to help support me, and I am living on pretty much beachfront property.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
We were IMing the other day about, you know, cable versus DSL and all that, so she's looking at getting some broadband access there eventually.
I am, actually, because right now what I'm using is simply, I have a landline. And I have a cell phone, actually. So what I do is I just use the landline pretty much for internet access. And people really want to reach me, they can use the cell phone.
Yeah, but she leaves her landline on all day.
I have unlimited access, so.
She's going to test that, folks. Make sure it is unlimited.
That's right.
There isn't some like little clause in there, and you get like a $500 internet bill or something.
So, what was that beeping?
Oh, what I was making Hot Pockets.
Ah.
Portion of RFA brought to you by Hot Pockets.
That's right. The cuisine of college.
That I make. What else do I make? I make
ramen soup.
Ramen
soup.
Actually, not ramen soup. I don't like ramen soup too much.
How about udon?
I do have udon. There's a little Korean restaurant pretty close to school. I'm in
Aigu.
Yes, and I have udon there, and it's very good.
It's mashiso, I believe, is a Korean word for delicious mashiso. Sorry, that's this Korean lesson brought to you by udon.
Washi, Japanese lesson brought to you by
by hot chick on Left Coast. I know quite a bit of Korean, actually. So you've got internet access, dial-up, which I guarantee you, I bet you anything is faster than your dial-up here, wasn't it?
It actually is.
Yeah, I figured.
Well, you know, when you're out there in BFE, you know, where you guys...
Oh, she was too, man. They barely had phones out there.
It's like Hooterville. She had to, like, take a laptop and crawl up, you know, climb up on top of a telephone pole.
She had to call.
What I did, actually, is I sent smoke signals to a friend who lived in town and typed everything.
Have Mabel connect me so I can get on that damn there internet.
Huh? The computer's more for holding food on it? Oh.
You know, all we need now is Condor and Skylar, and it'd just be, you know, it'd be like a big group hug.
Be like old home, old times. You know?
That's right, old school freak. That's right, baby. And check out this guy at oldschoolfreak.com, and you can get Mary Chan's email address. I think it's still up there, and a picture of Mary Chan to check her out.
Yes, there's also a picture of my ass somewhere around there also.
I think there is. Is that your ass on the H2K2 pictures?
Yes, it is.
It is your ass, isn't it?
Nice,
well,
though, just so you know, wasn't...
No. It was totally. It was very. Anyways.
Anyway.
So anyway, changing gears here. Now the special announcement is
this, with the special guest.
But
we got to tell Mary Chan. Rax has a very special announcement, and we're very happy that a special guest like you could be on the show. So Rax, take it away.
I think I am to her about it before, but can't say a whole bunch about it right now. But anyway, let me drop the bomb first. Is that this is going to be my last episode of Radio Freak America?
Aww.
Yeah, I knew that, and I'm very sad.
But we'll let you know as soon as it comes to fruition here. But I'm going to be working on another project, and that will take up my time and energies for things. But you know, so it's been fun. It's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun too. You know.
Yeah, it is. It's very rewarding, is it not?
Yeah, definitely. I'll keep checking out the site, and I'll probably email stuff, and I'll be, you know, talking with Dual and people and stuff and that. But when it comes to when the project comes to fruition, well, maybe I'll call back in and we'll do an announcement or something on the show and that. But
I was just going to ask you, are you going to let us in on it?
Well, yeah.
If it comes down.
When it comes down. Well, it's not an if at this point. It's pretty much all committed to. So when it comes down, which will probably be. Say probably before December, I should be able to be back with another announcement about things. But so the project is kind of in stealth mode right now. But that's probably about all I can say right now.
That's a big announcement. I'm going to miss you. The show's definitely going to miss you. I know the listeners are going to miss you. You're quoted for crying out loud.
Oh, big deal. Yeah, my quote was, "I'm in it for the chick."
I'm here. We're here for Mary Chan and Matt and listeners. You know what? I need another host. I mean, Rax is just not a co-host. We hosted the show together, and I'm going to need another one. I think I've got some people to, you know, to be on the show, you know, but to do it every week like that, it's not, you know, it isn't easy.
No one is irreplaceable as your lovely Mary Chandel.
That's right. Oh man, if you were here, it'd be no problem. I'd have you with me. You know, it'd be great. But
she's going to move back now just because you said that.
No, don't do that. You got it made.
Right.
Yeah, okay, good. So, listeners, anybody wants to be on the show, let me know. Send me your number. I'll pay for the call. And
fun fact for kids who are recently living on themselves, make sure you wash out glasses before you pour something in. And I just got a mouthful of dishwashing liquid.
Ah!
Oh, gross. Sure,
that
was soap.
Ah, that's gross.
Mom took places, trust me.
Your mom took care of that for you before, huh?
Give me a break. You know how old I am here, so be impressed someone at my age is living out by themselves.
That's right. I'm impressed someone my age is living out by themselves.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Each mental age, or
you had to have listened to the beginning of the show with the big fat hacker, you know, sitting in his mom's basement.
Sad part is, I actually am sitting around playing video games. I'm just not.
What's sad about that?
House.
Yeah, video games rock, man. I'm playing Super Monkey Ball 2. I love monkeys, man. Monkeys rock.
Speaking of, there's supposed to be a really good GameCube game. That's what you got, isn't it, Dil?
Yeah.
You got a GameCube too, man?
I have a GameCube.
I can't believe he got a GameCube.
No, she's got a PS2. GameCube rocks. This gets cool. It's like little tiny. It's got these little CDs. It's awesome.
The GameCube too.
You have a GameCube?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Rich bastard.
Yeah, we got it, dude. The broadband adapter. Dude, this is technology. The broadband adapter for the GameCube is coming out.
Cool.
Online gaming, baby. And Zelda looks.
It's an online game for the PS2. It comes out in, like, they got a date on it.
Yeah, it comes out from the big frickin' Japanese conglomerate Squaresoft, who is in bed with the devil Disney.
Shut up, I like Kingdom Hearts. It's fun. You get to beat people up.
You know, all this talk brings up a very good point, and this did come up on the Rant Radio message board. There should be a gaming show. I mean, it's got technology, it's got entertainment, and I think it'd be a quality topic for a show. I can't believe there's no gaming shows on the internet.
Fun.
What's that?
There you go, dude. We'll take another night a week and make a weekly show just about gaming.
Shit, I don't have time to game, let alone make a show about gaming. Oh my god. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody has got... I don't care, I'm going to rant. Somebody's got to pick up the slack. Somebody has got to start putting out good shit. I know people want to hear it. I know people have got the knowledge. They've got the desire. They've got the drive. You know? Just start... It doesn't have to be quality. We started out with... first of all... spending no money on a penny and 133, making this crappy sounding show. Listen to the first shows, but they're actually entertaining. Do it. I don't know what else to say.
And we still don't have quality now.
That's right. Look what's changed. And we're still doing it, so. All
right.
Mary Chan, I'm really glad you can make it on the show.
Thanks. I'm glad you invited me, and I'm sorry I was huffy at you before.
You were huffy?
I was.
Well, I'm upset now.
Aww.
I didn't know you were huffy. I'm upset now. Oh, a word about War Linux. The author, and I'm sorry I don't know his name because he makes some good shit. Point 5, of course, is out, and he's had reports, and I reported this last week, that some cards are not working with War Linux 0.5. The Orinoco did not, and Kismet, and I used the Prism 2 card, and it did not. I've ordered a PCM 352, the integrated antenna, and I've yet to get it. So as soon as that gets here, I'll try it out and let you listeners know. So, stay tuned for that.
I got a hold of a Prism 1, basically, just the plain old Prism chipset PCMCA wireless NIC.
Cool.
That works with NetStumpler just fine. No external antenna, but it still works.
Oh, good. That's very good to know. Look at that. Hey, you know what that brings up? Maybe I'll do that for our next for my next paper, you know, my next little article. I'll write up cards that me, you, everybody I know has actually, you know, firsthand or, you know, worse, secondhand knowledge of, you know, wireless NICs, and rate them, what they work with out of the box, you know, what they work with well, OS-wise, and cost, where you can get them. I think that'd be great. I mean, there's a couple of that. You can get that kind of stuff on, like, the wireless groups, but, you know, like, I don't know, Seattle Wireless and the Houston Wireless, but you know, some of the cards aren't there that I've used, so maybe that's a good idea. So, listeners, you know, if you've used, you know what, I'll tell you what, project for me and all the listeners. If you've used any kind of card, write in what card you used, how much you paid for it, what you used it with, OS, Discovery software, any other kind of software packages, and send that in to me, duel@oldschoolfreak.com, and I'll start compiling that for all the listeners, and it'll give a good database for you know, for anybody who wants to get into it, or anybody that is into it and they want to change stuff. So send that in, and let's do that. I think that'd be great. That'd be a great resource for all the listeners.
Well, Duel, one of the things you're going to have to get used to doing now is starting to pick the closing music.
Yeah, you know what? And I think I can. No.
Closing music.
Please. Okay.
Did you say MC?
I said I want to pick the closing music.
Oh, well, the thing is, you have to have an FTP server to put it up on so I can grab it. Plus, this is Rax's last show. I'll get you on the next show and you can pick the music and I'll find it.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
As long as it's not REM.
It's the end of the world as we
know it. Both of you. God.
It's the end. Okay, sorry. What is the music, Rax?
Oh, so you're going to have to do it, man.
Who, me? Wait, this is I'll do it. I've already got the music picked. But this is, since this was the last show, okay, I'll pick it.
I was going to say you should have, like, Guy Lombardo doing Auld Lang Syne, like the stuff they play on...
Who?
Steve.
What?
The guy with the little bubbles and all that. It's the one that makes you really sad on New Year's Eve when you're, like, all drunk, you know? Heard that?
Okay, yes, I have heard it, and yes. And no, it's not going to be the closing music. The closing music is going to be one of my favorites, Stromkern and Realign. Great song. Mary Chan, thanks for being on the show. Rax.
No problem.
Rax, I'm banging my... Representing. Recognize. Gonna miss you on the show, man.
And, you know, I'll still say keep knowledge free. You gotta keep fighting for it, people.
And I'm gonna say I miss Rax. And I need another co-host.
When the moment comes to pass, when the moment turns at last.